thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2025 Sao Paulo Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
Well, all right, guys. Well, it's been a while since we've had a good sprint race weekend, although for Oscar, it wasn't obviously the best sprint race weekend, but the 2025 Sao Paulo Grand Prix, obviously. When's the last time we've had a Brazilian here before? Gabby, it's been a while, right?
I think it was 2018, Felipe Massa. So it has been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, there always used to be quite a few Brazilians on the with Barrichello and Massa.
And Felipe Nasser.
It's like when you're writing your paper, you're like, etc. I can't think of any more.
Yeah. Emerson Fittipaldi, you know.
Right. Oh, you're going to go way back. Yeah. Senna, both Bruno Senna. And
Nelson Piquet. Yeah. Nelson Piquet Jr.
Okay. This is a trivia podcast.
Name your Brazilian. Lewis Hamilton, honorary, like an actual dual citizen. They gave him Brazilian citizenship.
Yeah. Did they? That's all right.
Yeah, they did last year.
They,
right?
They gave him a passport, if you want. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very good. I can't think of another Brazilian, but I'm sure that there are plenty other ones that that raced in F1. But where do we start? I guess Lando. How many points did he make up this weekend? I mean, he
beat 22. Oscar by 24 points. No, 23 points. He has a 24-point lead now in the championship. Yeah. He had a 1-point lead going into the weekend. Obviously, you know, to your point, he scored the full 8 on the sprint to Oscar 0 with that crash. I mean, the sprint, you know, was pretty eventful at the start. You know, it was when you had 3 cars crashing out at the same corner, just being losing traction through turn 3. Lando getting a bit of water from the, I think it was like it was resting in the grooves of the curb, and when he went over it, it kind of splashed on the track. And if you were of a certain line and didn't quite catch it in time, well, it took Piastri, Hülkenberg, and Colapinto. Was it Colapinto?
It was the third. Piastri, Bordoletto, and Colapinto.
No, you had it right.
Wasn't it Bordoletto?
No, Colapinto, Hülkenberg, and Piastri.
Nico.
Anyway. But yeah, no, we could.
Cars went out.
Anyway, a bunch of cars went out. And then there was a sprint race, and that was PS3. Yeah. And we've all forgot. No, because Bortoletto's crash was the one at the end.
Well, that was massive.
No, that was in that the regular was huge. Race. Wasn't it?
No. Well, yes, Bortoletto did crash in both races.
Two races in one weekend is like.
That was lap one of the regular race where he crashed out, right?
Yes, the Grand Prix.
On lap 23 of the sprint race, Bortoletto lost the back end going into the first corner, I think, and it
trying to overtake Albon. I guess he just got sucked in and didn't pay attention where he was supposed to brake, or he got offline and was trying to brake and turn at the same time, and he bit it big style. I mean, he was not on the ground. I guess on the commentary they were saying there's like the old track, and they go across a curb from the old track, and that's what put him in the air. But when he hit the barriers, he was not in contact with the ground, which is what's kind of scary. I think that's, you know, obviously they look at every crash and try and learn something, but like, you've got to take that curbing out, whatever was there before, because there's no friction. There's nothing slowing you down if you're in the air other than like air.
Yeah, bits. I mean, the car just disintegrated, which it's supposed to do, right? You want to dissipate the energy, huge.
Did you see that picture of like him mid crash that someone took? like one of the official, you know, the proper photographers. There's just bits everywhere. It's a spectacular picture. Yeah, you know, but fair play to.
I mean, he was lucky. Yeah, lucky not to like break his wrists or something. You know, you got to get your hands off the steering wheel. You got maybe they do those things instinctively. I guess these guys have been racing all their lives, but yeah, could have been a lot worse just to walk away.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, the Sauber guys got his car fixed, but just not quite in time for him to get out in Q1 for qualifying. He was actually in the car. He got in the car, but he just didn't have enough time to get out. So, like, massive kudos to the Sauber guys for getting that car fixed.
Sorry, my computer just glitched out for a second. So we had the crash with Gabby during the regular race as well, obviously, which brought out a safety car early in the race. And Lewis picked up damage. I can't remember how he ended up damaging his front wing.
Was it Colapinto? He's in contact.
He was right behind. He was coming up behind Colapinto on the very last corner up the hill. I mean, it's barely a corner. It's flat out. Looking at the replay, I kind of put it on Hamilton. It looked like he had plenty of time to move to the side, but he just didn't.
And he misjudged it a la Lando in Montreal, didn't he? You know, gaining just a little bit more than he thought and put the whole front wing under his car.
It just took his front wing out completely. And of course, at that speed, the wing just goes straight back under your wheels. And yeah, it was just a big old mess.
Yeah.
I put that one on Hamilton, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you guys said, he just crashed into the back of him. But I mean, it was really after that safety car where the McLaren fans will say the drama came from with the resumption of the safety car, and then Oscar on the inside of Kimi and the three of them going wide and making contact, and then ultimately, obviously, Oscar getting obviously I'm a McLaren fan, so I'm going to feel differently, but a pretty harsh 10-second penalty for it. It seemed good to me.
Go ahead, Martin.
Well, I'm going to give it to you from the Ferrari perspective. I mean, poor old Charles, he was in another postcode on the other side of the track. He couldn't have, he talk about giving like a car's width. He was 2-3 cars away from what was going on the inside of him with Piastri and Antonelli.
Well, I wouldn't say it was 2-3 car widths, but
my Ferrari glasses.
No, but it all came down to the fact that in the restart, Kimi didn't get, I think he was just a little bit too aggressive. And when Lando went, he had to come off the gas ever so briefly and meant that he was then getting swamped on both sides. He'd got Charles on the right and he'd got Oscar on the left. Now, they were all three alongside one another, right? It was, in my opinion, really harsh to give Oscar a 10-second penalty for that. I mean, I guess trying to think about it from Kimi's perspective, he knows he's got cars on either side. He doesn't really know what either of them are going to do coming into the braking zone, but he just followed Lando. He should have given Oscar a bit more room, but simultaneously, you know, he didn't want to go too far wide because he knew that Charles was there, albeit Charles, being more experienced, knew what was going to happen and moved over a little bit further to give Kimi extra room because he clearly knew that Oscar was on the inside as well. Kimi kind of held his line. They made contact. And, you know, the loser in all of this was Charles Leclerc, who was, you know, if Charles hadn't have been there, Kimi would have spun around completely. He'd be at the back. But that that secondary contact with Charles actually righted him. If you watch it, you can see the back end of his car is completely gone, and that's what hit Charles. And that contact just kind of keeps him online and means that he can cut across and retain the position. but it was, I mean, yeah, I guess with these guidelines that have now become hard and fast rules, Oscar locked up, which in these rules mean he's lost control. I don't think he lost control, but the puff of smoke from the tires sort of condemned him to be getting a penalty. Should it have been 5 because it's mitigating, it's the first corner of the restart? Yes, I think it should. If he was going to get a penalty, maybe 5 would have been a little fairer than 10. But to me, it's like they always look for someone to blame. And it was a perfect example of 3 guys going for a corner at a really important phase of the race, and it didn't go to plan. That should be okay.
Yeah, they're incentivizing them not to race hard, right?
Yeah, they're incentivizing people not to go for the gaps. In reality, I think that if Oscar hadn't come out of the gas, he'd have won the right to the corner, and then it would have been Kimi's fault.
Right.
He was braking because he could see that Kimi was coming across him.
Exactly.
And that's what caused the accident. So it's like, yeah, I mean, harsh from a penalty perspective.
Yeah.
But there we go. It was eventful. It meant that it was an event we could talk about.
Even Leclerc said he wouldn't say it's all Oscar's fault. That was his quote after the race. And many people thought that it was a harsh penalty for Oscar. But
yeah, because they were all 3 next to one another, like in going into the braking zone. This whole thing about where your wheels are relative to the other at the apex is just it's a stupid rule. I mean, it's not supposed to be a rule, it's a guideline, but it's a rule now because that's what they use to be consistently awful in all of this, right?
Especially on a corner like that, which is, I think it's one of the best first corners in Formula One because it's quite wide, it's got a lot of banking, and you've got this immediate back around to the right straight afterwards. So there's quite a few different lines you can take through there to get it done and keep your speed. So yeah, it is what it is, What are you going to do? But who wasn't there, right, at the front getting mixed up and all of that was like Max Verstappen, right? Because he started from the pits.
Yeah.
He had a terrible qualifying. Didn't even get out of Q1, right?
He did not.
That's correct.
I mean, that was it. They started off not in a good spot in terms of setup. And then they did the sprint race and decided they wanted to change the setup. But that took them completely the wrong direction and made the problem even worse. Qualified in, 18th? And then decided, we'll just take it out of Parc Fermé and we'll put a new engine in it and we'll fix the setup. And they landed on something which was a really good setup. And they started on the hard tire. But luckily, because the hard tire was terrible, it was really, really slow. But luckily for Max, he got a puncture on the first lap. I think it was maybe off of Lewis's debris. Well, it was off some debris. I don't think it would have been off Bortoletto's, but he got some debris, put him on the medium tire, which was the best race tire, and he was able to make up ground.
P16 is where he qualified, but that might as well be last when you're Verstappen. He can take those cars in a heartbeat, the cars that are tootling around at the back there. And change the car setup completely, and obviously were able to make adjustments that other teams weren't to improve the car. No guarantees that they would, but clearly they hit something, like you said. He already was up to 13th, I think, when he came in on lap 8, dropped back down to 18th, and then just went on a charge. It was just like the fastest guy on the track, right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I
mean, just like the wise words of the Apex GP lead driver, Sonny Hayes, sometimes when you lose, you win.
Yeah. I mean, but it was quite the decision to take it out of Parc Fermé. I mean, they were not going to go forwards with the setup that they had. So it's like they had nothing to lose. Just take it out and start from the back, which is fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like you said, he had come into pit, and then on lap 17, he's already back up into P12.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the track characteristics as well. I mean, that run from the last corner up the hill, round the last proper corner, round, you know, up over the hill and then into turn one is a great spot for overtaking. And then it's also a decent run down to turn four, and you can make overtakes stick there as well if you get a better run through through the Senna S's, right? So it's a track you can overtake. So if you were going to try something like that, it's a lot easier to, I don't want to say easier, but you want to do it in Brazil versus Monaco or Singapore.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was one of those races with all the action and safety cars and virtual safety cars and everything early on. I mean, the tire disparity between all the different cars and teams was totally different. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to tell what the actual, you know, we knew what the leader was, but where everyone is on the track. But I mean, Max is up to P5 already. I mean, what in the 20s, early 20s, he was already up to P5. So
he just
unbelievable.
And then at one point he was in the lead, right? When Norris.
Oh yeah. I mean, the big question at the end was, did he have to pit again and put soft tires on? Could he have made the medium after he got off the hard? Could he have made the medium last the entire race? Cutting through the field like that, I don't think so. But it was Piastri's stop where basically they had to make a decision, because if Piastri stopped and he'd have come out behind him or something like that, which would have made life a lot more difficult. So they were like, well, maybe he won't win it, but we can lock in second, or we can lock in the podium rather, by pitting and putting the softs on. Because after just a few laps, the medium was faster than the soft anyway, but they just had to do something.
He would have been on those mediums for...
It would have been a while.
60 plus laps. That's insane. I don't know what sort of pace he would have put it at the end of the race on those kind of tires, but
yeah. And tire degradation was a little bit harder than people maybe thought. I did read somewhere that the grooves, did you see the grooves in the track that they'd done to aid with the drainage? So all the way, so through the last kink turn going up the main straight, and then on the grid and in the center S's, where you've always seen cars aquaplaning. You remember like turn three a few years ago, that river just coming across the track. So what they've done is they put grooves into the track, and they do that in other tracks as well to kind of aid the drainage, so the water doesn't pool there. But what that did was it meant that the tire deg was higher, because it kind of gives it a bit of abrasion. And it also meant that the McLaren had to increase the ride height of the car after the sprint, because it was going over the ridges from the grooves where they've kind of cut into the track, was giving it a vibration, and it was wearing the plank. So they had to raise the ride height, which made the traction, which made the grip lower, made the car slide a little bit more, which did not suit our friend Oscar Piastri. You know, this was supposed to be the track where it's like, oh, it's a more of a conventional track. It's, you know, more grip than we had in Mexico and Austin, where Oscar was struggling because he doesn't like a sliding car as much as Lando does. And that's why he's fallen a little bit behind. Just as earlier in the season, Lando couldn't get the hang of the front end and Oscar was faster. The track that we thought should be a bit more conventional didn't actually come to fruition because they had to raise the ride height and slow him down, make it slide more. And that's not what Oscar likes. So now he's got to go to Vegas, another cold track, limited grip. It's not looking good for Oscar, because I don't think that he can do enough in Vegas to then be Qatar and Abu Dhabi, be more his kettle of fish, shall we say.
Yeah, and I don't think Lando has to win another race to
he does not
win the championship. He can play
second. Yeah, Oscar can win every race. If he finishes second, he wins the championship by 2 points. Which means that, but if they hadn't switched place in Monza, I did read on Twitter earlier that he would have to win one more race, right? So anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, suddenly, I'm just geeking out now. Sorry, guys.
suddenly there's three races to go, right? There was five races. There were six races that everything was like on the table. But I mean, Verstappen is mathematically not out of it, but he is pretty much out of it now. It's down to Oscar and Lando. I mean, certainly anything can happen. You know, I mean, Oscar's crashed out. Lando can crash out or have an issue.
I mean, that's it. It's like right now there are 24 points in it. If it was this, we could be at the start of the last lap in Abu Dhabi. And 24 points is not enough until they've finished that lap. If Oscar's doing the old celebration and kind of stacks it into a wall on the last lap, Oscar could finish with 25 points and win the championship. So it's not over till it's over.
It's not over. Yeah. But yes, I mean, Piastri's just, it started off great. The start of the season was all Lando. Then Piastri, you know, took over and now it's swung back to Lando again. And
yeah, I mean, it was Lando's crash, right? Where everything looked so bleak for Lando. And where was that? The Netherlands, right? Where
that was Lando his engine went.
Right. That's right. Where the engine blew and he had to retire and it looked like, you know, Oscar was storming away with it. And I don't think Oscar has beaten him once since then.
Yeah. But like I said, it's just that the circuit characteristics and the grip is not what suits Oscar right now. I think it's not that he's been bad. It's just that he's like having to think about how he drives, which means he's slower. Like I said last week. It's really Baku. Baku was the one where where the pressure got to him a little bit. But I don't see what's been happening the last three races being him buckling under pressure or being bad. I think it's just that he's struggling to drive in those conditions.
Yeah. And like you said, Vegas isn't going to be much better for McLaren. At least that's what they think. And I mean,
What about somebody who didn't struggle this weekend though was Antonelli, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, best weekend of his career so far. P2 in the sprint, P2 qualifying, P2 in the Grand Prix. I mean, Verstappen was closing quickly at the end there, nearly snagged second place from him, but I mean, maybe it could have all been very different, right? Had Charles Leclerc not been there, Nick, as you say, to stop him spinning out. But other than that, pretty flawless performance from him, right? I mean, and I think best rookie performance ever. Is that right? Better than Hamilton?
Well, no. It's the most points in a season by a rookie.
Yeah, by a rookie. There you go.
But there were only 10 points for a win.
Oh.
Back when Lewis came in.
Right. In the old days.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't hand out quite as many points, but
yeah, no, I mean, so Antonelli's on a...
Lewis almost won the championship is his rookie year, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Antonelli's got 122 points. If you were to score Lewis on today's scoring, he'd have like 250 points, right?
I got sucked in by the clickbait, by the headline.
Clickbait.
I didn't read the fine print.
Didn't read the fine print, no. Well, you didn't really read the print. You just kind of went, click.
I don't think Kimi's complaining, though. Like, what a great weekend for him all around. He mixed it up with the big boys a little bit. He held his nerve. And he put great performance across the whole weekend.
I think it's been his sort of his statement performance, right? Because you look at some of the other rookies and, you know, Behrman last time out with fourth place in this Haas. We've seen Hajar and Bortoleto have had some great performances. Yeah, Kimi had the podium in Montreal, but it wasn't really a statement result. This weekend was a complete weekend for him.
Expectations are a little higher in that Mercedes, you know, his teammates winning races. So, you know, the car is there, you know. So.
Yeah, and George has won in Brazil. He's won in Sao Paulo. And so people were kind of in the run-up thinking, well, could George be on the podium? Nope, George wasn't on the podium. It was Kimi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, George... I mean, everybody that finished behind Verstappen, and in front. Like, how did he do that? I mean, I guess the setup, they're able to change the car and make it work. I'm still so impressed by what Verstappen did, and also Antonelli. I mean, those guys, it was a great weekend in tricky conditions, right? Because it wasn't a slam dunk. There was, like you said, there's water on the track. It was greasy. You know, you could have lost it at any moment, and plenty of people made mistakes. So for those guys to come through, it was great. And the less we say about Ferrari, the better. I mean,
well, I was about to bring up, I mean, Mercedes kind of cemented themselves. I mean, it's not a given, but P2 and the constructors looking pretty good for them right now, and Ferrari and Red Bull are 4 points apart for P3 and the constructors. It's not impossible, but there's a big gap between P2 and P3.
Yeah, it's just not coming together. I don't put Leclerc at fault. He was possibly on for a podium. But never got a chance to show what he could do. And obviously Hamilton lost his front wing and damaged the floor and game over.
Yeah, he's qualifying. He didn't get to make the lap at the end, right? I think qualifying. He didn't get out of Q2.
He timed out. Get around. Yeah, he didn't.
Ironically, I think that's right, because Charles Leclerc spun right in front of him.
Yeah.
And so he didn't make it around. And so that sort of sealed his fate. That's what put him in a position where he's battling with Colapinto.
Yeah. One mistake leads into another, right?
Yeah.
The Haas is the best Ferrari on the grid right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job.
They really are.
Behrman,
well, Ollie is.
Behrman had some great moves. Like, he was going, overtaking on that first corner over and over again, it seemed.
Finished 25 seconds, I think, ahead of Esteban Ocon.
Right. But he was, what, P4 in Mexico, P6 in Brazil for Behrman. They're only 2 points behind Aston Martin now in the constructors.
That's pretty nuts, right? I mean, yeah. Haas is about a quarter of the size of any of the other teams. They are, by a long shot, they are the smallest team. And then you look at Aston Martin with Lawrence Stroll's money and Adrian Newey coming in. I mean, obviously, Adrian Newey's not got a whole lot of influence on the current state of the car, but they are punching well above their weight.
Yeah. And the Racing Bulls, I mean, they bought both in the points, P7, P8 for Lawson and Hadjar.
Yeah, 0.2 of a second between them. They were right next to one another. I mean, behind Lawson, it's like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. I mean, within 3 seconds, you've got 7 or 8 cars all just coming along behind.
That's nuts.
Lance Stroll finished 58 seconds, 58.247 seconds off the lead. Was that 58? And Liam Lawson in seventh was 52.6. So that's less than 6 seconds separating seventh and 16th. Only Yuki was like off the back.
Yeah, poor Yuki.
Didn't Yuki pick up a penalty as well early on? I think he tagged somebody, didn't he? Tagged Alonso, I think.
Yeah, he did get a penalty, and then he came into the pits to serve his penalty, and one of the Red Bull mechanics started changing the wheel. And he got a 10 second penalty for failing to serve the 10 second penalty.
Man.
Yeah, like muscle memory kicked in, and then he just came in, and the guy just went, and then, oh, shit.
Yikes.
Nobody's talking about that second Red Bull seat anymore, are they? And who should be in there or who shouldn't be in there? We're just waiting to see who gets confirmed for next year. But yeah,
that seat's going to suck regardless. So what difference does it make?
I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens next year. Yeah.
We haven't talked about Pierre Gasly yet. What is it with Pierre and Interlagos? I mean, he finished 8th in the sprint, picked up a point, finished 10th in the Grand Prix. I think he's probably not going to be happy that he finished 10th, because he could have finished 7th, really. I mean, he was only a second or so out of 7th, based on what we were just talking about. There was some good racing between him and Hadjar, actually, at a couple of different points through the race. I don't know what it is with that car and him in Brazil, because the Alpine is, well, just look at Colapinto, where he finished. Pierre, for me, has to have an honorable mention in the driver of the day discussion, just because he scored points in both the sprint and the Grand Prix in an Alpine, which is an absolute dog.
Well, he's good at Interlagos. Last year, he was on the podium for both the sprint and the race, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's a track that he likes, he knows, or he feels confident at.
Well, he won here, right? Is this where he won?
It was Italy.
Oh, it could have been. Yeah, maybe it was Italy, yeah. He was second. He came. When was it he out-dragged Lewis to the line? Wow. And just retained a point. Anyway, Google away. I know. I should know.
2024. He came third behind Ocon last year. It was Verstappen, Ocon, Gasly. So the Alpines were finished 2-3 last year.
Dang. He must have been so mad about that.
I mean, that was a very wet Grand Prix.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Well, now Pierre's got his mention.
And the Williamses were just they were just outside the points. P11, P13.
Yeah, they were nothing all weekend, really.
Didn't do much. I think Albon got fastest lap, actually, for some weird reason.
That's true. He did, yes.
Oh, yeah, here we go. So Gasly finished third last year and the year before. So he finished on the podium both years.
Disappointing race this time, then, to only be 10th. At least he got a point, I guess.
And so he came second in 2019 at Toro Rosso.
That's pretty good. Pretty good record. Well, I guess that takes us into Coupes, Martin.
Yes. Brazil's top scores. How do you even say some of these usernames? Idayu, 2001, top score with 230 points. Philo Fanita, 224 points, and Hounsfield, 223. So again, you know, people early on were scoring when it was more predictable, well into the 300s. So points are hard to come by. Top overall still R. Heatley, 22 points ahead of Tablet ID. Jason, you dropped down to fourth behind Schumacher's list. And Nick, you dropped to seventh. Still tight.
But I'm looking forward to when the races are in the morning, and then I can remember to put my picks in, because this is now the third race in a row where I've forgotten. I think these are still my Baku picks that are in here. I mean,
well, yeah, you're still got an outside chance to add to your trophy collection. Jason, you're only 6 points out of a podium spot, so all to play for. You just got to, you know, pick
it.
Looking at the Las Vegas consensus, early picks, Oscar's third. Max has the second spot behind Lando. So
I thought about picking it that way for this race.
Yeah, you got to put, but you know, there's lots of guys that can finish in the points now. It's down at the bottom. You got to get it right. You know, Behrmann, the two Racing Bulls can get in there. As we said, Gasly, they've all got a shot. Maybe the Williams are on the outside looking in these days.
Yeah, they've kind of fallen off the boil a little bit. Maybe their car is in a similar spot to how Oscar's getting impacted, right? Their drop in form has sort of coincided with Oscar's drop in form. So maybe it's something in that. We'll just see how things go in the next couple of races.
But I mean, if Norris keeps this up, it's all going to be over. But it's going to go to the last race, isn't it? There's no way.
Yeah, he can win it in Qatar, but we kind of want to see it go to Abu Dhabi, don't we?
Absolutely.
I guess you're right. If he keeps beating Piastri even by just a few points, he can put himself an entire like race win ahead, and it doesn't matter.
That's not going to happen, though.
No,
we're gonna. It's going to go till the end.
Who do you want to win, Jason? I mean, you said you're a McLaren fan.
Who do I?
Do you have a favorite son?
Well, I mean, I've been a fan of Lando longer. Up until Oscar started losing, he seemed to have the demeanor that I liked, but it seemed to crack.
Do you feel stressed? One of them's going to win. So McLaren's going to win the Drivers' Championship. You should just be celebrating every race as it comes. But or do you feel Max stressed watching it?
Max still exists.
True.
But he's, what, 49 points behind now?
49 points with only 83 remaining. So he needs all of
He needs help.
McLaren's crash into each other twice.
Okay. So you're not relaxed, Jason, is what you're saying. You're not just enjoying every race for what it gives just to see which McLaren wins it. You're still stressing.
Once Max is mathematically eliminated, I'll feel better.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. I think I saw something where, oh no, because it's if Max wins every race and then Oscar finishes second, then Oscar will have more points. But I did see one permutation where it was Oscar and Max can end up on like 424 points. And then if basically Lando needs a DNF for that to happen, and one of those to be champion.
I mean, one final point, I think this win for Norris means that he equals Piastri's wins for the season, I think, right? They both have 7, I believe. So, because that's a tiebreaker somewhere out down the line if it's needed. But
pretty good year, 14 wins so far for the team.
I mean, Max will be like, yeah, that's just a...
That's an afternoon. That's half a season. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, anything else we missed?
No, so it's just, Vegas next.
Vegas.
In a couple of weeks, it's the Thanksgiving weekend, right? So,
It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the 22nd, Saturday night.
Is the timing all weird then? Yeah, because the race actually happens
Saturday? At like 1 a.m.
Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll forget to put my Coupes F1 picks in on a Saturday, on a Friday instead of a Saturday.
You can change them now if you want. It's available.
I'll put them in now, right? Not knowing anything that's going to happen. But
he has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2025 Sao Paulo Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2025 Las Vegas Grand Prix. We'll see you there.